Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Remember, bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. It's quarter number three of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. And guess what? Baseball is back. That's right. They are going to hit the diamond again this week. And while we may not be able to join them in the stadium, plenty of action to be had from the comfort of home. No better place to get in on that action than with DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. And to celebrate baseball coming back, DraftKings Sportsbook, it's offering free bets for every home run your team hits. Additionally, DraftKings Sportsbook's offering all new users a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. So download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN when you sign up. For a limited time, all new users can get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. That's code KSN. Get your sign-up bonus up to $1,000 only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. I'm Jim. He's Dusty. It's quarter number three. And Dustin, in this quarter, we're going to answer the question. Well, actually, I'm going to make you answer the question. Is James Franklin an underappreciated coach?
Oh, I think without a doubt in Penn State circles, in a lot of Penn State circles, he is. I'm reminded from time to time how polarizing a figure he is in other Big Ten markets. It came up and we discussed, you know, how if Penn State can replicate the success that Clemson had. A guy from 24/7 Sports who does a radio program really made that comparison first. We discussed it. I discussed it a little bit on Twitter, just pointing out that over the past 4 years, James Franklin has the same exact record as Dabo Sweeney had the 4 years before they made a college football playoff appearance. It is what it is. You can connect whatever dots you want and say, well, you know, Penn State has Ohio State to contend with and blah, blah, blah. But the numbers are the numbers. But in that conversation, there were fans from Michigan really just with so much anger towards the whole idea of James Franklin being a good coach. There are fans, you know, people in New Jersey, you know, the whole like, New Jersey and Maryland are part of Pennsylvania, as far as I'm concerned. One of those early lines that James Franklin surely regrets, that there are fans from New Jersey who just hate James Franklin's guts. And it's just wild. Like I understand the perception outside of Penn State's market, but you look at who he is as a coach and who he seems to be as a man. And it's just, you know, the perception of him versus who he actually is. There's just such a disconnect beyond people who kind of follow him day to day, who built their perception of him off of one line that he said or something like that. So that's one part of it. And the other part of it, I think, is every coach within a certain faction of their fan base is never going to be accepted. Or if there's always a group of fans who are waiting for the other shoe to drop. Like I can guarantee that last year there was a faction of Alabama fans saying, I wonder if Nick Saban is still the right guy here. You know, God forbid that they wouldn't win a national title or whatever. So there's always a certain sense of entitlement from your own fans. Not all of them. I think the majority who probably least often engage on social media are really a believer in Franklin and appreciate what he's done and can really look at the big picture and see the amount of success that Penn State has had while compartmentalizing that desire to be a college football playoff team. So, you know, in a couple of respects, James Franklin is underappreciated because there are so many components of the job of a head football coach that he's so good with that when you dwell on, let's just say, clock management issues, you know, that's a fair criticism of his. If you look at, you know, their record against Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, I don't have the number immediately in front of me, but the fact that he could have had more success against those key teams, more success against ranked teams on the road, All that's well and good, and that's fair. But if you look at the big picture about Penn State lifting the lid on the talent on its roster, you know, gradually a little bit at a time, which I think is true. The fact that, you know, how many guys are really getting in trouble, you know, they're succeeding academically. They are winning football games at a high level. They're competing against Ohio State, one of the best programs in the country, the class of the Big Ten. They're competing against Ohio State better than anybody else. You know, there's all kinds of really good things happening at Penn State. Sometimes you're just so close to the action, you can't see it or admit it.
Well, I'll give you a couple of my theories. Why I think he's underappreciated and what happened. And I think some of it happened right from the start. Remember when Bill O'Brien came in and coached, some people, with all the sanctions, look how well he did. He was given a pass, even though I think James Franklin was more affected by the sanctions than Bill O'Brien was in James Franklin's first couple years. So he had those 7-6 first couple seasons. I think a lot of people wrote him off already at that point, despite the fact that he was doing this with probably the worst couple years caused by the sanctions. So no matter how successful he would be after that, people had to justify their opinions from early on that this isn't real what he's creating, where I think he was unfairly criticized early on. Those teams that were 7-6, I think that was an actual accomplishment and a feather in his cap, not the other way around. And when he finally got to the point where he had a full set of scholarships, had a full team, had his players out there, we see what's happening. It's double-digit wins. And the other part to this, Dustin, you mentioned, does he regret some of the things that he said about owning Maryland and New Jersey? I don't think he regrets it. I think that's a little bit of part of the persona, and I don't have a problem with it.
I think maybe the comment he regrets the most is the whole great versus elite thing after they lost to Ohio State. That's a direct side-by-side comparison that he wishes he hadn't made. But I think you have seen from 2014, when I think coming in, when you got that new coach smell, you're gonna kind of puff your chest out. You're gonna speak in a way that you're not gonna speak after you've been at a place for 5, 6, 7 years. But I think we've seen a little bit more humility from James Franklin over the course of the last few years than we did in those early stages of his arrival, and that's where a lot of people built their perceptions of him. And it's interesting, just the whole idea of sanctions. You know, it feels like a distant memory, but it really isn't in the grand scheme of program building. You had one guy come in Bill O'Brien, who was perhaps the coach best positioned to make more with less. I don't think Penn State could have hired a better candidate at that point in time to make the most of the talent he did have. So he did that for 2 years. There were areas, you know, he didn't really have his eye on the big picture of college football program building, because I don't believe he was ever in this for the long haul. Then you hand the torch to somebody in James Franklin, who was significantly less equipped to do more with less, but had his eye much more so on the bigger picture. So you have the whole clash of expectations being high because of what Bill O'Brien did. The fact that Christian Hackenberg was here and he was like the program savior. And then when James Franklin can't get a lot out of Christian Hackenberg, that a lot of that was laid at James Franklin's feet. When, you know, if you look now that the dust has settled a little bit, now you can wonder, you know, you can say he probably got too much blame for Hackenberg not taking the next steps in his career. So all these factors did build a sort of negative perception that he probably is still shaking off to some, and everything he does is viewed through that lens, especially when it comes to not having as much success as you would want against those Big Ten East rivals. And then, you know, obviously not getting to a college football playoff yet when that expectation was set in 2016 that they were that close. But, you know, all this stuff, big picture, you know, the guys won a lot of games. You can believe in the coming years, he's going to win at a higher level. You can have a legitimate belief that Penn State is going to win at a higher level than it has even in the past few years.
Yeah, I believe there's a couple things. He's lost a couple games he should not have lost. I'm not going to lay. He had leads against Ohio State. Ohio State is an elite team. And I'll at least give credit that Penn State has challenged them every single time it seems that they've played. A couple of those losses, the bowl loss to Kentucky, the loss to Michigan State, to teams that they were clearly better than them. And what's interesting to me is earlier you talked about the Clemson comparison. And before Clemson really broke through and became the elite Clemson that we know today, guess who was accused of always losing a game he shouldn't lose? And that was Dabo Swinney. Remember the Clemsoning, which was to lose a game you're not supposed to. So there's a history of that. But on the positive side of the ledger for James Franklin, I look at things like he's recruited really well. I think he's been an excellent representative of Penn State University. As a fan, I still believe in that success with honor, and I think we still get that with James Franklin. I think they've done well with player development. I think their ability to scout, when you look at things like a Trace McSorley, who nobody else really looked at as a big-time quarterback, but Penn State believed in him. And even if you look at Justin Fields, now I know he didn't end up at Penn State, but Penn State was really the first team that was really in on him and looked at him as an elite quarterback coming in. So I think there's a lot to tally on the positive side for James Franklin.
100%. And I would be the first to say, you know, my perception of him was a recruiter first and foremost. You know, you have doubts about everything football related, but that guy's going to get talent through the door. And one area where I think Penn State has greatly exceeded my expectations is in the player development part of it. And, you know, similarly, their evaluation of players too. And the guys who weren't primetime prospects, as you mentioned, Trace McSorley is probably the most shining example of all. You know, their ability to identify, evaluate, recruit, and then develop. You know, that chain of player management has been pretty unbelievable, which is why I think, you know, this 2020 recruiting class, for example, where they went off the beaten path for some players, guys who didn't have a big reputation nationwide, you got to give him the benefit of the doubt that these players, they're going to turn into something under his watch. And I think that that's the case too. But bottom line for me, James Franklin, underappreciated. And I truly do believe that Penn State's best days are still to come.
That's it for quarter number three from the Labatt Blue Studio. Stay tuned as we continue our player roster series.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
This is Andy Shea from the Keystone Sports Network. You heard us talk about 409 tailgate sauce for a while now. Honesty moment. I use 409 tailgate sauce at my house, and it's a hit with my family and friends. My barbecue chicken always comes out great. The sauce also works on pork, beef. You can even put it on your burgers. Go to 409tailgateclub.com to order 409 tailgate sauce for you or that tailgater in your life. And remember, always tailgate with honor.
Baseball is coming back next week. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN when you sign up. For a limited time, all new users can get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. That's code KSN only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.